I'm holding the shaft.
Bad Hound Bears fan.
I'm shafting it today, baby. Shaft. One of my favorite detectives of all time. I love Shaft.
The wildest part about that is the ESPN Chicago logo is right in front of you, so we don't know what you're holding there. We don't know what's going on there.
Covering my junk.
What's happening there, Chicago Bears podcast. Chicago Bears podcast. Bears. Appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love. Hit that like button. Subscribe to
Bears
the page.
Bears down.
That's how it feels.
I'm in a silly mood too.
That's how it feels. That's how it feels. Feels like the Bears are down. We need you to bring us up on a Friday. You getting us that sponsorship there?
Yes, I am.
Getting us that sponsorship there. America does run on Duncan, as the slogan goes.
That's the world tells me. I want to see Justin Fields on a rooftop. That's what I want to see.
You want to see him on a rooftop?
Justin Fields on a rooftop. When they raise the money, when Dunkin' Donuts raises the money, they put everybody, the coppers and the firemen,
on the rooftop. I haven't seen that in a minute, yeah.
So Justin Fields needs to be up on a rooftop, you know, collecting some money and raising funds for the greater Chicagoland area. That's what I'm hoping
for. Is that how we're going to get him paid for the rest of, for the foreseeable future?
Listen, first of all, May 2nd's the day that you got to pick up a fifth-year option on Justin Fields. So we'll see. It'll be an interesting offseason. I hope he plays great in the next three games. I thought he plays fantastic, and it gives the Bears any and all options as they move forward. So it'll be interesting.
Is there any clarity if Justin Fields plays great the next three games? Because I feel like a lot of people went into the Cleveland game as kind of, this is the last time you're going to have a defense this elite to face. What's he going to do against that? Didn't look good. 19 for 40.
Well, Brock Purdy didn't look good against these guys. They have a tendency to make quarterbacks not look so hot sometimes.
It's usually when you're the number one defense out of the go.
Some have had a little bit more success than others. Yeah. That's fine. It wasn't perfect. I just need anybody in the world out there to think that, hey, this guy can play. And I always said Lamar Jackson is comparable. How close is he to being Lamar Jackson? And if the answer is close, then you got to find a way to put a team around him, or somebody might be able to find a way to put a team around him.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily need the Bears to believe in him, but I need somebody to believe in him so there's some value out there. And with whatever happens in the offseason. And now here's the difference now. I've resigned myself and I've taken deep breaths to the fact that simply I am going to be a passenger on what's going to happen here with the Chicago Bears in the quarterback situation. They're going to find a way to make some sort of decision on what they want to do as they move forward. And if they decide they want to trade Justin Fields, then okay, just maximize whatever deal you're going to get. Send him probably out of the division. I wouldn't say he'd be out of the conference, but I think he'd be out of the division. And hopefully maximize whatever you're going to get back, period.
You know what? And I've kind of said the same thing, because here's the one thing. Do I believe that Justin can play? Yes. Do I believe Justin will go to another team and play well? Yes. But I also believe that Ryan Poles actually has the best interest of the Chicago Bears in heart. And I think that he's putting out on a weekly basis, we're seeing the moves that he decided to make work in the Bears' favor. If he feels like he needs a different quarterback to make this system work, make Luke Getsy's system look better, make whoever the next OC system look better, next head coach, the decisions he makes, I'm willing to live with, because in the 2 years he's been here, we have seen, I would say, very few decisions cripple or hurt the Bears in a long-term fashion, right? Really, the Claypool move is the only one that may hurt you in a long-term
fashion.
And
that's because Joey Porter Jr., the better Joey Porter Jr. becomes, not that you were going to take him,
right?
But that's the comparable. And if Joey Porter Jr. becomes an all-pro, then you're going to be scratching your head going, boy, that really was a catastrophic mistake. But he's not afraid to go ahead and do the same move. And I think Montez Sweat has proven out to be a pretty damn good player. I think he's heightened the level of the defense. I think everybody's been playing better because Montez Sweat is on the team. Now they just got to find another impact player on the defense, specifically on the defensive line.
Yeah.
Then they got to make a decision. I think they've made their decision on Eddie Jackson. I know that Eddie Jackson is probably going to move on. Whitehair is probably moving on. Lucas Patrick needs to leave. He needs to go away. Luke Getsy is probably going to leave and go away too, which would be a positive thing. I don't know whether Eberflus will or won't.
Yeah.
But if you're going to have a new quarterback in town, these are ifs. Yeah. Now, these aren't me making declarative statements. If you're going to have a new quarterback in town, you might want to have a new coaching staff in town and be heading in the right direction. And we'll see. Well, the rhetoric hasn't started yet. We'll see what Caleb Williams thinks. We'll see what Drake May thinks. I am a fan of trading down.
Yeah.
Trading down, allowing people who want to come up that think they got a quarterback isolated and he's their guy. I'm a favor of moving down once, moving down twice. And then I think, you know, like Shedeur Sanders has become the second quarterback name that I've seen out there.
Well, he's staying.
Mel Kiper's list.
Yeah, he's staying.
On Mel Kiper's list. Well, is he eligible to come out?
He's eligible, I believe, to come out because he played at Jackson State. Yes. But I think he's going to stay one more year.
So that's what everybody says until it comes time to, okay, well, I'm only going to make $2.5 million on my NIL. And what's if I get drafted sixth, what am I going to be making? And that gets my clock working in the NFL to get me to my second contract.
Yeah.
And that's when I'm going to get paid. At that time, when Shedeur Sanders becomes a fifth-year player, then going into the sixth-year, where your quarterbacks would be making $70 million a year.
Easily.
So do you want to delay that process, or do you want to get that process started as quickly as possible?
I think the biggest difference with Shedeur is, and you've seen the man on the field, he's still hanging at the house with Pops. Not a bad place to live. he's got a nice little setup going on there. Yeah, you know I mean, like, and getting the NIL money and all of that.
Even the mama bird kicks the baby bird out of the nest.
Oh, Deion's gonna kick.
Sometimes there's three of them in the nest, and you can only feed two. Then you just go ahead and just throw one out anyway.
Yeah, this is true.
I've seen that. It's a circle of life.
A lot bigger nest there, though, Yurt. A lot bigger nest.
Got a big nest over there. That's fine. But listen, just depends. You're a young man. When do you want your adventure to start? I mean, you could sit and stay in the bosom.
And want to play in Colorado.
You can stay on the bosom as long as you like.
Yeah.
That's fine if that's what you choose to do. But at some point, you're going to have to unlatch and become a man.
Yeah.
So when you're ready to unlatch and become a man, welcome to the NFL.
And he's going to be.
Not everybody can make it.
He's going to be a real prospect in this league.
But I saw that his name because Mel Kiper put the list out there.
Okay.
And he was the second quarterback on that list going, I don't know where. But it was just overall skill list, you know, ranking them as prospects, not necessarily where they're going to come out in the draft.
Yeah.
Or where they're going to get drafted, just where they are at with grades for the type of prospect they are coming out of college.
You know, Mel Kiper, never mind. Let me not do that.
Mel Kiper's been doing it for a long time.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
A long time. And Mel Kiper's been right on a lot of people, and he's been wrong on a lot of people.
100%.
But that's his business. His business is evaluating talent. He's been doing it for a long time.
He always has that one guy he pushes, though.
Of course.
He's always got that one guy where it's like, what the heck? He's the main one pushing Trubisky up the board, wasn't he?
I'll tell you this. I watched Kalijah Kancey last year.
Yeah.
And Kalijah Kancey was ranked like 9th or 10th at the beginning. But I think it was the second or third defensive lineman taken in last year's draft. And he's playing with Tampa. I think he's been injured a little bit. But when he's been there, I think he's had a little bit of an impact. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
But he noticed the same thing, too. When his list came out, he had Kalijah Kancey moving up, too. So there's certain areas I think that him and I can agree on, and there's certain areas that we don't agree on at all. So
yeah, well,
that's the way it works.
I feel you. Let me ask you this. Over the next 3 weeks, you talked about kind of the things that you're looking for. You talked about kind of, you know, what you want to see from this team. Are you still making decisions at this point, or are decisions already made? If you're the GM of this team, do you already kind of know, I've seen enough of this?
I think over the course of time, you've been able to see enough. You've kind of got a feeling, you know, win or lose, you've got a feeling of what direction you're going to head. You've got a feeling of what guys you're going to keep around, what guys you're going to start moving on from. I think you got a feeling of what you're going to be doing with your coaching staff. I think a lot of this is already kind of done.
Yeah.
But you still got to play out the string. You know, this team still, I think, could use that confidence of what victories are about. You saw what they felt like. You saw what they looked like. Now, they went tooth and nail with a pretty damn good defense.
Yeah.
They were 17-7, and then they allowed a quarterback again in the fourth quarter for whatever reason. They allowed him to go ahead and go crazy out there with 220 yards of passing offense. But it's enough for me to say, all right, at least they're competitive, and they're not what they were the first 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
They're a better football team than they were the first 3 weeks of the season. Now we just got to keep this group focused. Now, what do you do with Jalen Johnson? It's a question mark. What are you going to do with them? You're going to keep them? You're going to pay
I'd
him?
Pay.
How much are you going to pay?
I'd
how,
pay.
How much?
If he's willing to stay with the Chicago Bears.
How much you willing to pay him? That's your question.
If he's willing to stay with the Chicago Bears, first contract, I'm coming in 18.
Yeah.
First contract, I'm coming in 18. I don't know if he wants to reset the market. That's the biggest question mark.
Well, if he wants to reset the market, the team that's going to get him is going to be woefully disappointed because you're going to overpay for him.
Yeah.
But that's what happens in free agency. We know that all happens in free agency. Is there compensation for the Bears if he ends up leaving? Do they get like a third round draft choice somewhere?
Where was he taken?
He was taken in the second round, I believe.
You'd probably get some kind of compensatory.
Yeah, so I'd wonder if you'd get some compensatory.
Because this is his first deal, so yeah, probably.
Or do you just put a franchise tag on?
You could franchise tag him as well.
Top 10.
Yeah.
Because the range from there is 23 to 14.
Well, and that's the thing with the franchise
for the 10th guy.
Yeah, with the franchise for him, I believe at this point it's about 18.5 million. So that's why I said, right, I'll pay you, maybe I'll give you 19 million. I'll give you a little bit more than the franchise tag would have been. Get you long term in here. He's probably going to want to hit free agency again. What, at 28? He's 24 now. So 4-year deal. Yeah, I mean, you work that out. Or you try to lock him up long term. See if you lock him up all the way. I don't know.
Well, that's something that the Bears are going to have to decide what they want to do with Jalen Johnson. Like I said, I think they move on from Eddie. You got 29, you got 9, you got 6, you've got 33 if you decide to keep them.
Yeah.
I think you're pretty good there, pretty solid already. Whether you address safety in the draft or you don't have to, or you just get a veteran defensive guy in here, that's a better tackler, a more willing tackler than Eddie Jackson. Maybe that's the direction you go, and I don't mind that. If that's the direction that you decide to go. You're good with linebacker. You got to pick up a defensive lineman that can get to the quarterback.
Yep.
I don't know whether you do it in the draft. You do it in free agency. Danielle Hunter, I don't know. But I think you might need somebody coming from the middle. I still think Gervin Dexter can be Santana Dotson. He's got to spend an offseason maybe watching a little bit of film and developing. But I think he's a lot more viable of a defensive lineman here in the second half of the season than he was in the first one. He was trying to figure it out, and he was adjusting to the NFL game. Don't know a lot about Pickens. 93 is a veteran. 97's already re-signed for next year. So
Big Bill.
It's interesting what you got on the defensive line. I think you're going to be fine there. Just need one guy to make a market improvement who can get to the quarterback. That's going to replace Ngakoue.
Yep.
That guy replaces Ngakoue.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's the direction you go. You need a wide receiver. You need a left tackle. I'm not sold on Braxton Jones. I still think he's a little bit light in the ass. His grades come out good. They tell me the grades come out good, but
the PFF grades,
that
tell us that our offensive line is one of the better offensive lines.
Don't deny it. But what are you going to do with Tevin Jenkins? The off the injured Tevin Jenkins.
Yeah.
What do you do with him? I like him. I'd like to keep him, but he's going to be expensive. You pay tackles, you don't pay guards. My theory.
Yeah.
You've already paid Nate Davis, and Nate Davis is a streaky player. I think he's better than he's shown us when he was being victimized by Aiden Hutchinson on the inside, a simple swim move. And I was like, whoa, look, he's swimming me. You should be able to combat that a little bit better.
Yeah.
But I think you said it right. A guard,
right tackle,
right guard. I don't know what you're going to do with Tevin. If you're going to move on from Tevin because of injury problems and because he's going to sign a big deal, then you keep Braxton Jones, and then you address your center. But you got to get a center in this year's draft, which is if you trade down, you get that second round draft choice. I think you go get your center. Get your center in the draft. Young stud rookie guy, healthy with a wrestling background, can come in and just play with nice balance and be a positive for you at the center position.
I've asked this with the offensive line, especially with Tevin. Right now, when we drafted Tevin, correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't he a left tackle?
Oh, he was tackle, yeah.
Why don't we try out Tevin Jenkins at the original position that we thought he could be successful at, but he never really got to play that position because rookie year he was hurt. When he came back, we had made some changes, slide him in the guard, slide him at the other guard, put him at right tackle. Right tackle he was horrible at. But, like, you know, like, why don't we try and put him back in? Is it just because – you don't know how long he's going to be in the line.
Who's the guy from Northwestern that came out in last year's draft, got drafted by the Tennessee Titans?
Oh,
everybody said, yeah.
Peter Skoronski.
Peter Skoronski. Yeah. Everybody said he was a guard. You know what? Everybody was right. He was a guard.
Yeah.
OK, Okay, so everybody was saying that, okay, try him at right, and that's if you can play right. He's a road grader. He couldn't play right, couldn't handle the pass blocking out of right, but at the guard position, he's protected on both sides. Tevin Jenkins is a guard.
Okay.
He's established himself as one of the top guards in the league.
Yeah.
He's a guard. Don't start screwing around with Tevin Jenkins anymore. You found a position he could play. Keep him at a position.
Both sides, too.
Yeah.
Plays so both. Him, I love him on the right side much better.
Right. Keep him there.
If I'm the Bears,
I don't screw around with moving him to tackle. He's a guard.
I'm not even like it's so tough. But what I saw on the right side when that was it 3 weeks that Nate Davis wasn't out
when
there.
Nate Davis was gone.
Pure dominance. When you had him and Tevin Jenkins next to each other,
he's a good player.
I would love to see somehow to get that to be consistent on that side, because I would rather have dominance on a certain side and know that I can go that way every time versus, well, it's okay everywhere.
Imagine getting yourself a center then.
Yeah.
That can do things and get second levels and do, you know,
yeah.
maybe even pull. God forbid you have a center that can pull and do some stuff for you. So, no, I mean, listen, you got places. You need the second receiver. Obviously, you need a second receiver or a first receiver, whatever you end up getting, whenever you end up getting them. Yeah, I mean, you look at the team and you look what they got and what they need and what they're looking for. I just don't want to, with a bunch of talent, if you got to reset the quarterback position, I'd like to have somebody that could play.
I think that's my biggest concern coming into this year as well. Like, it's like, I'm okay, Ryan Poles, you want to change the QB, you want to move on, fine. All right, let's do that. Caleb Williams is not more protected behind this line. Drake May is not more protected behind this line, and he's less mobile and has already had, what, two knee injuries? Jaden Daniels, maybe you bring him in. He's a little bit more mobile, but he's not any more protected, right? Like,
panics.
The same issues exist no matter what you change at the quarterback position. And it seems like when people go, well, maybe we should get the offensive line together, everybody goes, well, C.J. Stroud doesn't have an offensive line. It's like, well, that's not the answer either, right? Deshaun Watson didn't used to play behind an offensive line, and that's not what you want to see. You want to see the Patrick Mahomes situation, the Brock Purdy situation. It's so far-fetched in so many people's minds that the Bears should build up the offensive line when, I mean, how many left tackles can we talk about in the last 20 years that the Bears have had?
I'm not.
Big Cat?
I'm not so worried about it. I think the center is what you got to improve.
You're more worried about center than left tackle.
I think the whole world knows that you got to improve the center position.
Yeah.
And then if you lose Tevin Jenkins, then you've got to worry about your left guard position.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I'm worried about. And I'm not worried about anything else on that offensive line. Listen, the quarterback holds the ball a long time, whether anybody likes it or not.
He does.
He holds the ball a long time. I'm looking for a quarterback that can make a decision and throw the ball. That's what we'd be looking for if you decide you're going to move on. And again, that decision hasn't been made. I'm saying if you do, I want a quarterback who's decisive and gets rid of the football.
Yeah.
That's it.
And we'll see what it ends up.
Quarterback being. That's decisive helps this offensive line because he gets rid of the ball. He doesn't. Look, pat, pat, dance.
Yeah.
And so
EO was talking about it earlier today. He said, you know, Waddle was showing him film of times where Justin Fields is still missing. And he is, right? Like I said that, like 19 for 40 ain't good. And it's not all the blocking scheme was terrible and the wide receivers weren't open. And it's like Justin Fields had a bad game.
I watched a game where Tua was under duress the whole game.
Yeah.
The whole game was under duress. Nobody says for Tua, hey, his offensive line needs to block better for him. He looks down and he throws the ball.
Yeah.
And when he's under pressure, he tries to evade the pressure, and then he tries to get the ball downfield. That's what he does. You know, that wasn't a constant thing. Well, his offensive line sucks. His offensive line sucks. No. They're doing what they can. They're trying to pressure him. They're trying to get to him. They want to put pressure on Tua, but hey.
And he's utilizing the legs.
He's doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's getting it out of here. He's throwing the ball downfield. Yeah, he's getting out of trouble. But in the same breath, he sees it coming, where it's coming from, and he goes and he attacks it.
Yeah.
Because he knows where he's going. He knows what he wants to do with the football. It's different when you don't know what you want to do with the football. And that doubt makes everything kind of look sketchy.
Yeah.
And makes everyone look sketchy.
And that's why.
Including your offensive coordinator. It makes him look foolish, too.
Well, I think he's just foolish. I think Luke Getsy can. I don't think Luke
Getsy. I'm ready to write it out. Whatever the offseason is.
I
don't think
Luke Getsy's Matt Nagy. I want to say that, right? I actually think Matt Nagy tries to draw. I think he plays Matt. Right? Yeah, this 15-yard pass is going to work out. Well, your quarterback doesn't have an offensive line, so he doesn't have time.
You keep saying they don't have an offensive line.
Well, no. I'm just saying, right, when you got that pressure in your face and you're trying to run 20-yard passes, right, I saw that with Jay Cutler. It's not pretty. I've seen that, right, with now Patrick Mahomes and Justin Fields. I think Luke Getsy actually can draw up plays. I think that he's stuck in his ways in certain things. And he feels like he has to be the smartest guy in the room whenever he walks in the room. And so what do you do with that? Oh, well, third and one. Yeah, I know I got these 2 6-foot-plus guys that are 230-plus pounds. But end around to Tyler Scott, who's 175. Let's run that as many times as possible.
They ran the two plays at the beginning of the game. They were both end arounds, and they each gained 11 yards. So, you know, sometimes when you play chess, you make a move, and the other guy's got the counter already set and ready to rock.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you run a naked boot and the guy stays there, then your naked boot ain't worth crap. If you run that and the defensive end ignores everything that he sees in front of him and just decides to run upfield, guess what? They guessed right, you guessed wrong.
Yeah.
And that happens sometimes. 70 plays, every once in a while you're going to guess right and they're going to guess right. And boom, it gets smacked right in the face. That happens sometimes.
I just think, right, like why?
You know, you run the Philly special. If it was 100% touchdown every week, they'd be running the Philly special everywhere all the time. But at some point,
haven't seen the Philly special very often.
People sit on it, you know, and then after a while, it's like, okay, we can't run it. We got to put it in a scrap heap because people are sitting on the Philly special. So,
no, I get that. I just think, right, like there's too many times where the obvious play, just because it's the obvious play, doesn't mean it's the wrong play. And I feel like in Luke Getsy's mind, it does. Right, the obvious play of like we need it's third and inches. Let's QB sneak this. No, how about we put a tight end back there, and we see if we can shove him over the lines. Like, but you,
I love the option pass. I don't know why people don't run it. You run the option like you're gonna run a toss play. The receivers go out the block, then you release one receiver, and there he is wide open.
Yeah,
the guy's just got a rainbow up there that come down. Problem is, Tonyan can't come down with a catch. That's your problem. Scott, I mean, I thought the ball was overthrown on the sideline in the final series of the game, the first play.
He had to jump for it.
I mean, geez.
Yeah, he had the jump
for it. I mean, come on now. Let's help everybody else out. Make a good throw, make a good catch.
Yeah.
And now you're at the 50 with time on the clock. All you've got to do is move the ball another 15 yards, and now you're a world beater. Now everybody thinks you guys are fantastic.
Yeah.
You tie the game, you send it into extra time, into overtime, and you never know what's going to happen in overtime. Instead, Darnell Mooney just lets it go in his stomach and into his hand, into his stomach, into his lap, and then hits the ground and it goes shooting toward his leg. He kicks it up perfectly for the other guy on the team. Oh my God.
What was going through your mind when that play went through?
Well, I'm like, he rolled left, gave himself all the time in the world, gave his team a chance to be victorious. You know, they went up for it, they batted it, and there it was. And for a millisecond, I allowed myself to go, and then I saw the ball ricocheting it, and then I kicked at something, and I think I ended up taking some skin off.
You're still dealing with a dermal level. You guys are hurting Yerk.
No, it's just a kick, and that's what happened. And then it's like, after that, you're dealing with another game lost.
Yeah.
Found a way to lose the game again. Snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory once again. And that's when if you're going to make a change, you're going to make a change. You can't do that three times. I mean, twice is bad enough, but doing it three times during the year. So that's why I'm back. I'm like at Mavericks out on the West Coast. I'm at Mavericks. I'm on the break waiting for the waves to come in, the big monster 40-footers. And I'm just sitting there, I'm riding my board, and that's what the offseason is going to be for me. I'm going to ride the board and see what's going to happen, and I'm not going to predict what's going to happen. I'm just going to react to what everything's happening.
And
I'm not in the prediction game. I don't have a crystal ball. You know, I'm not Karnak the magician. You know, that's not what I do.
You got the hair for it, though.
I might.
You got the hair for it. I'm not mad at it.
Smooth and
maybe a little Beijing in there. You throw some Beijing in there, go all black. Okay. That's the magician way to do it, right?
I got a second chin here that's starting to bother me. I look like a big fat frog. My frog legs would be tasty too, baby.
Ooh, what are we talking about?
Yeah. Here? My frog legs. I'm a big fan of frog legs. You ever had frog legs?
I have. They are phenomenal.
I've best
had
place.
Frog legs. I've had gator.
Have you?
Gator's really good.
All right. Now, the best frog legs I've had, they used to be at Vicky's Melody Tap in Calumet City, Illinois, but they've shut down. The proprietors have passed away, unfortunately. Children weren't interested in continuing on with the business. A Princess Cafe down at Beecher, Illinois.
Not bad.
They've got some of the best frog legs. Now, I haven't gone into the city to try to hunt down some frog legs. I am sure there's great spots in the city where you could get some scrumptious frog legs. I'm just telling you the ones that I know.
Yeah.
Now, Phil Schmitz on the south side over in Whiting, Indiana,
yeah,
used to have it, but they closed the restaurant down because the casino went in there, and then Schmitz is no more.
Makes sense.
So you can't find them over there anymore. But the Princess Cafe has got some pretty, pretty good-ass frog legs.
I can't go wrong with frog legs. I've had gator. I've had what's a little fried rabbit. Love me some rabbit.
Haas and Pfeffer.
A little Haas and Pfeffer.
You know, Sweet Vidoc, my father, used to catch rabbits in the yard.
Yeah.
Harvest them. So we call harvesting. Yeah, harvesting of the local rabbit population. They were getting in his lettuce. He's more than happy to catch himself a rabbit and kill it. And then made some real good good food with that.
Had that in a stew?
Yeah. Phenomenal. That's how he made it.
That's phenomenal.
And my mom goes, Mom, you know, I didn't mind eating rabbit all the time, but she goes, tell your brother and sister it's chicken. And you can say it's chicken, Mom, but it don't look like chicken. And it don't taste like chicken. It tastes like rabbit. And so we enjoyed the hell out of Haas and Pfeffer.
My great-grandfather used to catch them very similar. And he would, but it was very tough. Like, I'd come up and he'd have like the rabbit gutted and all that.
Yeah.
He'd go, look, Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, oh, God. And then you're walking around the day, like, I'm not eating Bugs Bunny.
Well,
and he starts smelling it. He's like,
yeah, I'm going to eat it.
Bugs don't smell that bad, though. Yeah. Hold on. What's going on there? Can I get some hot sauce on this? I mean, I might have to take out some Bugs Bunny.
You most certainly
on this
can.
Yeah.
And my mom made what she called pura. Pura, which is cornbread.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, cornmeal, boom, in the thing. She'd mix it up, but we'd put it out in one big blob, and it was hot.
Yeah.
And you'd dig in with your hands, and you'd eat it with your stew. It wasn't, you know, corn. It didn't look like cornbread.
So
you know,
it wasn't like baked out? Oh, okay.
It wasn't in a tray. It wasn't baked where you could quarter it and then take a piece of it. No, it came out in a big pile.
Yeah.
Out of a big pot. And boom, when it was all cooked together, and pura was good.
Man, that sounds good.
Straight in there with the hands, fine. And you sit there, and you use it like as a mop to soak up the juices in your stew.
See, this messed up.
Delicious.
That's why I love doing your episode, but now I always end up leaving here eating something.
That's right.
Every time, eating something.
Pura. Pura.
Pura. I like that. I like the sound of that. Yerk, we got a game.
When I was in high school, I used to tell my mom, I'm going to go get me some pura.
Are we still talking about the same thing?
We're talking about,
we still cornbread. Talking about cornbread.
Yeah,
you got pura. Nervous there,
Yerk. I know.
I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, I mean, your mind, it has a tendency to wander on me.
Former construction worker, Yerk. I've been in a lot of interesting environments.
Now you become Pat the Wanderer.
Yeah, Pat the Wanderer. I like that one. Pat the Wanderer is good.
Pat the Mind Wanderer.
Pat the Moroni. Rice-a-roni,
Rice-a-roni, the San Francisco treat.
Well, now we're getting closer to my last.
Rice-a-roni, the San Francisco treat. I love it.
We got a game this Sunday, York, Arizona Cardinals, Chicago Bears. Shay Norling on the radio said he wishes the Bears would just lose out.
Of course he does. Of course he does, because nobody sees any value in winning, but there is value in winning.
And that's kind of the point I was going to make. There's a lot of people that don't see the value of winning.
No matter what's going to happen at the quarterback position, there's still a value when it comes to winning and learning how to win.
Yeah.
And learning how to solidify games and not pissing away 10-point leads in the fourth quarter.
With two takeaways.
Yeah.
Only team to ever do that. Two-plus takeaway lead.
Yeah, they've set all types of records.
Oh, yeah. All the wrong ones, though. Does that say more about your coaching staff?
It may. Yeah.
Like, that to me is the most telling thing.
And his
every time
inability.
We talk about this coaching staff, we're speaking on something that no one else in history has done.
That's why I'm open. That's why I'm open for anything.
Yeah.
You know, I can't defend everything
anymore. Yeah, no.
I'm just like, okay, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Like I said, Mavericks, I'm out there on the break.
Yeah.
I'm on my paddleboard.
Enjoying some pooda?
You know, well, pooda. You can't, not on the water.
Oh, okay.
It won't stay on the water. But I'm going to just sit there and I'm going to watch everybody take the waves, try to make sure I'm just going to sit in there and chill, and then I'll ride around the outside and I'll make my way to the shore.
You know, everybody else is swimming against the current.
Right. Everybody else can work hard. I'm going to be out on the perimeter making it to the shore. I'm not riding it. I'm not getting in the pipeline. I'm not doing anything. I'm just going to be out there watching, enjoying myself and having a good time. And that's what I'm going to do the rest of the year. I'm going to watch. I'm going to enjoy. And I'm going to react to what the Bears do and what they try to figure it out at the quarterback position.
So you want to see this team keep
and the coaching staff and the rest of the roster that they have.
Yeah. So you want to see this team continue to win, go out there and
oh, absolutely.
Keep this defense.
Yes. Going I want the way this defense firing. I want to force turnovers. I want to be proficient in the red zone when the offense gets there. Yeah, and I want the quarterback to play as good as he possibly can.
Yeah.
So any and all possibilities are available to the Chicago Bears in the offseason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As this season comes to a close, and we'll bring this podcast to a close because Yerk's got a very important radio show to do. But as this season comes to a close, Yerk, you were a part of something and got to see something that we don't see a lot of franchises do. And I wanted you to bring that to the podcast because – it could be a strategy for the Bears here. Yes, of course, we know they have the top pick, but you were part of a franchise that basically took a quarterback any chance they got and took flyers on every quarterback that they could.
Yep.
Until they found the right one, the Green Bay Packers, of course, who I'm talking about, and they got two out of it by making, well, I mean, you know, two. I'm not all in on Jordan Love yet, but two out of it at least, and one that is a capable player.
Well, not only that, but they made starters around the league.
Yes.
Which is what they did. So when I got there, our first quarterbacking situation was Don Majkowski, Mike Tomczak, Zach, and Blair Keel, former Notre Dame guy. In 92, I think that's when we brought, in the offseason, we brought Brett Favre to the party. So it was Majkowski, Brett Favre, Anthony Dilwig out of Duke. So those were our three quarterbacks going into that year. Then it was Favre, Ty Detmer, Mark Brunell. And those are our three quarterbacks that we have.
Yeah.
Detmer would go on to play for Philadelphia. Brunell would go on to start for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jaguars, yeah.
Right. We also had Kurt Warner in camp in 1995. Yes. They identified Kurt Warner as a possible player. So they brought him to camp. It didn't work out for him there. He went back and did what he did, worked in the grocery store, played in the Arena Football League, came back in the league in 1999, and became a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Yes. So that's his story. Jay Barker.
With Kevin Warren, by the way.
Yeah. Jay Barker was a quarterback from Alabama that they drafted. They brought him in. He just didn't fire. It didn't work. They got rid of him. Hasselbeck.
Yeah.
So they got Matt Hasselbeck. They got in. They liked him so much when Mike went to Seattle. He stayed with Mike. Mike traded for him. They got him over there. Aaron Brooks, another guy that they drafted.
I remember Aaron
Brooks.
Ended
up, Aaron Brooks started down for the New Orleans Saints. So they were never shy to get quarterbacks, and Favre never was threatened with any of the quarterbacks they had because they had made a commitment to Favre. But they brought him in. They developed under Mariucci. They developed under Andy Reid eventually, and they developed under Mike Holmgren. And that's what they did. Ron Wolf was a believer in bringing quarterbacks in, drafting quarterbacks, bringing them in via free agency. He wanted to see and to look at a bunch of different guys. Ron Wolf was also a fan of Rex Grossman. He said he's the closest thing to Brett Favre that he's seen at the college quarterbacking in a long time. So he was wrong.
College Rex was, he was such wrong a different
on that.
Player.
Yeah, he was wrong on that.
College
in the Rex pros
was such a different player. My God.
But the philosophy is to draft a quarterback every year. And Denver, they took in the ninth. Brunell, I think they took in the third or the fourth.
Yeah.
Aaron Brooks, they took a little bit later. You know, they didn't just necessarily say, hey, we're going to pick high, but we will pick someone.
Well, and I think that's the thing, right? In my mind, right, you had Favre. Rodgers was drafted what? He was drafted
25th player.
Yeah, I was going to say. He
dropped all the way to 25.
He was early.
Yeah.
You had Rodgers. You drafted Love. Not to say Love is Rodgers, but you drafted a competent quarterback, it seems, that was able to sit in the sit. Does it seem like that might be a strategy that definitely the Chicago Bears, but more teams have had struggles finding quarterbacks?
The more I think the more draft equity you have, the easier it is to take a guy with a fourth or a fifth round pick that you like, or a third round pick, with the more draft equity you have. Which is why I would love to see the Bears take that first pick and turn it into multiple picks.
Yeah.
One next year, one this year. If you want to wait another year and get one in 2024,
25,
20, yeah, I don't care. stretch it out. If you're the GM and you plan on being successful and you're going to be here forever, you don't mind having that type of draft equity.
Yeah.
It's a little easier to kind of assume what the next year's draft might look like, as opposed to 2 years somewhere down the line. But then you got the second rounders and you got other picks that you can kind of acquire.
Yeah.
And then if you move down a second time, the key is, can Ryan Poles and his scouting staff identify the quarterbacks, go through them, watch them, and then identify the guy they believe is going to be the best at the NFL level? And, you know, it's only them that they're going to be looking. They're going to be analyzing. They've got to find that one trait or that second trait that separates the one guy from the rest of the guys, keep their mouth shut, have an idea how far they can go down, and still get the quarterback that they want.
Yeah.
And then not share it with the rest of the world.
Yeah, that helps.
Keep your mouth shut, and then when you get your chance and your opportunity, you come to the podium and you say, with this pick overall, but we're going to take quarterback, blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
from blah, 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 for blah, 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 and we think he's going to be our guy, and then have him come in. I mean, Brock Purdy came from nowhere.
Yeah.
And when they identified him as the guy, when they gave him an opportunity, and the biggest thing was when he played his ass off.
Yeah.
Okay, the telltale sign when he got his opportunity, he played his ass off. Bye-bye, Jimmy G. Thanks for everything. Thanks for all the victories. Thanks for taking us to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And, okay, we're moving on from you. Trey Lance, we gave up a ton of stuff for you, my friend. We gave up everything in the world because we thought you were going to be our guy.
Yeah.
It didn't work out for us. Have a good one.
It's a lot easier when you have the next guy.
And it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. What they did with Trey Lance, it made John Lynch kind of look like a little bit of a moron and an idiot.
Yeah.
But when you got Brock Purdy, it's easier to say goodbye.
Yeah.
You know? So goodbye to you. And that's the way they worked it.
We'll see what this Bears team does. See. Offseason is going to be fun. Yerk's going to be riding the waves. I'm going to be
riding the Mavericks.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm probably swimming against
Luka Doncic.
I'm swimming. Oh,
it'll Luka be me Doncic, and Doncic up out on Mavericks getting it done for you.
We ended up with Lauri Markkanen in that draft, so I'm not as thrilled about that.
Yeah, I think he went fourth, right?
Lauri went seventh.
Doncic went fourth.
Doncic went
fourth.
Fourth or third, one of them.
Fourth.
Because Vlade wouldn't pick him.
Vlade Dottie, his name is Vlade.
Vlade had beef with Pops back in the old country and said, I'm not picking Luka.
Wait, and why in the old country?
That's the greatest thing.
But you know where Pops is from, right?
Where?
Pops is from out here, Northwest Indiana.
Where Luka's dad is from?
No, Popovich. Popovich.
Oh, no. I'm saying Vlade Divac had a beef with Luka's dad.
I thought you meant Popovich.
No. Vlade had a beef with Luka Doncic's dad back in the old country and said, I'm not picking your kid. That didn't work out.
I know Vlade a little bit.
Yeah.
I know Vlade a little bit. Yeah, but that's too bad.
That's tough.
Hey, listen, you landed in you land where you land probably for the reason you landed.
Yeah.
So the Mavericks were a good fit for Doncic.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're just trying to find a way to play better.
Yeah, Vlade picked Marvin Bagley.
I think they made a trade last year that did not work well for the Dallas Mavericks. I think it was, where they jettisoned a lot of people didn't work out well.
Well, they were already on a downward trend, the Mavericks and the Mavericks. But, hey, the Bulls have 7-3 over the last 10.
Since Zach LaVine has been out.
Nice
game against the Lakers. It was LeBron-less, right? Did LeBron play or
LeBron
not play?
LeBron played. AD played. They beat the full-strength Lakers.
Full-strength Lakers.
Full-strength Western
Conference.
Well,
it wasn't the in-season tournament anymore.
In-season tournament champion.
The in-season tournament's over, so the Lakers can't find the motivation to play no more. That great in-season tournament banner that's going to go on up.
20 years from now.
IST. Man. What does that stand for? All the kids. What does that stand for? Nobody knows.
20 years
from now. In-season tournament. Whoa,
we're going to be comparing in-season tournament MVPs.
I doubt it.
I doubt it. It's not going to last.
Yeah.
All right.
I doubt it. The reason it doesn't last is in Europe, all the best leagues play against each other in Champions League.
Yes.
You know, so you got the four best from La Liga, the four from English Premier League, the four from the Bundesliga, four from there who are on top of the Scudetto. You know, two from Portugal, two from the Netherlands, one team from Croatia, you get one team from Yugoslavia, you get a team, two teams from the Ukraine, a couple teams from the Turkey League. So you get them from every league, they get balled in, and then they play against each other, all right? That's the league. That's something special. That's the best of the best getting together playing club,
yeah.
All right?
That's something special. Not the same teams in the NBA playing the same teams in the NBA. What are you doing? Yeah.
Oh, it's the in-season tournament, and oh, we're in Vegas. Hey, look at us. We're in Vegas with the NBA, making things happen. Bull crap. It's garbage.
I appreciate y'all.
It's garbage.
For another episode. I just wanted to hear him talk about the in-season tournament. It was a long play. Appreciate you guys tuning in, showing love. For Yerk, I'm Pat the Designer. Hopefully the Bears get a win this Sunday, and we have a much more entertaining week coming your way.
Pat the Designer.
P for, well, it's better than what the P was for earlier. Or are you saying something now?
No, I said it's for Pat. Hello. It's kind of new. It's for Pat the Designer.
Oh, okay, all right.
It's for Pat the PP boy.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Hey, follow us on everything. Y'all stay safe out there in Chicago. Peace.